Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
But Maya Kiso, the National Director of the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem here in South Africa, as well as the founder of the Africa for Israel Christian Coalition. Luba, thank you for being with us, and good afternoon to you on June the 16th.
Good afternoon, and how are you guys?
No, we are good. We could have done without your Cape Town weather, thank you. But other than that, everything is just fine. We're going to freeze for a week, but yeah.
Thinking about, we have beautiful weather in Cape Town.
Well, you said you got to. Listen, if Kathy was here, she'd no doubt make a couple of jokes about you going to get water or something. But yeah, we'll leave that down exactly right there. Luba, today is an important day for all of us. I don't know how old you are, but I was wondering, what is the significance of June the 16th, Soweto riots in particular, in your life?
I'm old enough to have lived through apartheid, but not experienced the June 16th event, you know, as profound, because I was small. I was young, so I was less than 10. I think I would have probably been around 8 or so. So I was certainly aware of the events. I mean, the whole uprising of June 16th in 76 really goes back to the introduction of Bantu education a bit earlier. So I was born in the Eastern Cape in a homeland. So I'd always been in school up until that stage in Bantu education. So I didn't know any different. My mother, though, obviously had been through the transition from Bantu education, from, you know, the previous education to Bantu, and she told me that it was quite different. And but that was before 76. You know, I think for me it marks a turning point where I think the youth really stood up and said, we have a problem and we're not going to put up with this, because it was the introduction of Afrikaans as a compulsory medium of instruction in the schools. So for me, I moved from the Eastern Cape to Cape Town in 1980 for school. And that's when I probably would have felt it. So mine was probably a few years later. And when I got to Cape Town, I was told, you know, though I'd be taught in English, I would have to pass Afrikaans and English to go to the next grade. And the Afrikaans that I used to do in the previously Bantu education school was like third language. So when I got here, I really struggled. I mean, I won't lie when I say to you, I got something like 18% for Afrikaans.
Oh, wow.
I was told, listen, you better increase your marks, otherwise you're going to fail. And I was completely at sea. I mean, I was really completely lost when it came to Afrikaans.
There's an article today in News 24 by a chap called James de Villiers, and his proposition is that 76 was a turning point in the fight against apartheid. Would you agree with that statement?
I think it was a turning point in the sense that I think the students got mobilized, and I see many parallels, let's say, for instance, with what I'm seeing now. So it was certainly a turning point, and I think that the challenge for most of us is, you know, I sat and I looked back. I mean, it's bizarre that I'm spending this evening, and I spent the last couple of nights in chat forums for only black kids who went to certain schools, in this case St. Andrew's College in Grahamstown. And what we are fighting is pretty much what the kids of 76 had in their hands. And so I think it was a turning point, but I don't think the change that everybody thought would happen. That I would be in a chat forum in 2020. Where we're talking of discrimination at schools, you know, where literally, you know, the old students have got together at St. Andrews, at Bishops, at Herschel. So I think the tragedy is that some of the issues that we fought, the students fought then, we're still facing now. So in some ways, the change is not complete. And I think we've kind of given ourselves this impression that, you know, everything is fine. We've moved on. But certainly, I think it was certainly a game changer in 76 when the students got involved. So for me, the similarities, if I can answer a question differently, when the younger generation gets involved, things begin to accelerate. So if you look at the Fees Must Fall, when the students got involved in that and Roads Must Fall, things began to happen. I'm looking at, for instance, I mean, there's nothing new with racism, but if I look at my kids, I've got a 26-year-old, 21, and 16 and 9. Now, when I look at the 16 and the 21-year-old, they're very angry at certain things. So I sat with the kids and I said, guys, tell me what's happening at your schools. I mean, my daughter has got a list of 50 things that she's saying, this is what I went through that really, you know, got under my skin. The 16-year-old is incredibly angry at the moment. And from the outside, I knew there was always racism and challenges, but I thought things were reasonably, were much better than they were in our days. And I think what we have to remember is that the class of statistics needed the media. There was no social media. So you're dealing with an angrier generation with the power of social media who are willing to confront the challenges that they're facing. Whereas I think to a large extent, most of us kind of sit back without the means to ventilate. I know that when we were at school, you know, you'd be the odd black kid or there'd be two or three of you. So you'd kind of let things slide. Whereas,
no, but why have we done such an incredibly bad job at this? It's 30 years later and the anger hasn't dissipated at all. Why have we not confronted the systemic racism? Why? I don't know. We just papered over the cracks and tried to convince ourselves that everything is fine and then really woke up now after Black Lives Matter, after all these things that are happening, to realize that, hey, wait a minute, we've still faced with all these problems.
I don't think we like to talk about them. We find it very uncomfortable. You know, on Facebook, I posted my experiences. You know, I just thought, before I get to the black and white issue, let me deal with the African and colored issue. And most people have commented have been in agreement, but I've had one or two who just come out and said, this is nonsense, deal with your own issues and move on. And the usual rhetoric about where, you know, that the Africans came later, the coloreds were here. So I think in South Africa, we tend to want to move on and say all is well and not really sit down and say, what are the issues? I mean, I'm not even talking of the issue that has education really changed in the schools. You know, if I go to the old former homelands, is there adequate classrooms, resources and all of those things? So I'm not even talking of the systemic issues, but on the race front, South Africans don't really enjoy conversations about race and about what is deeply affecting us. I find in my experiences, people are very quick to prescribe to say, deal with your issues and move on and stop making it a problem. So you're almost forced to, you know, almost get over it, you know, get over it and let's move. You know, make peace with yourself, look at your trauma, look at your hurt and let's move. But the perpetrator you're not dealing with. So there's almost this view that forgive and let's move forward. So the band-aid and off we go.
I must say, I had always conned myself into thinking that in the schools, you know, that was where the hope was, that these kids were not seeing race in the same way as perhaps you and I did, because they were brought up differently in different environments. They were jolling together. They were friends together. And really, I'd put my hope in the future in those kids. But it seems to me that you can't have a fixed school in a broken society. It just seems to me that it's unrealistic to have ever thought that. And I don't know what the blueprint is to fixing this issue. You know, you say communication. Do you think that'll do it?
I wouldn't despair. I would say things are a lot better. You know, there's pockets of excellence. Things are changing. So if I look at, I mean, for us, it was overt the racism. Legislation has changed that. So what's happened is that racism is just a little bit more subtle. You know, you will get, and it tends to be more of a private school more than a public school issue, where the numbers are smaller. So if you take a school that's successfully integrated, let's say you find a school in Joburg and the kids are either three quarter, you know, black or half black, then issues are less prevalent. This is still an issue more in the elite schools where black kids are still a minority, where you can count them in one hand. And that's where people are really struggling. You know, anecdotally, there have always been good people. I mean, on my Facebook page, one guy commented and said to me, you know, Luba, I hope that I didn't add to your trauma. Now, interesting thing is he's from your neck of the woods. This guy grew up in Randburg. I lived in the homeland. And so one year in 1981 or 82, he said to me, can I come home with you for the holidays? And I was young. So I said, fine, let me ask my parents. I found my mom and I said, Mom, can Andrew come home? And my mom said, sure, if that's what you want. And he flew back to East London. He spent an entire Easter holiday, you know, in a black home in the Eastern Cape. And years later, I thought, goodness me. And I called my mom and said, Mom, what did you make of that? And she said, my child, I was really, you know, we were quite taken aback. We didn't know what to say. And you asked with sincerity. So we thought, okay, fine. But having a white kid in our family in 1982 was very strange. I mean, he was here for the holidays. Never mind the play date, because there were no white people in the vicinity. You know, but he thought nothing of it. Because we were at school together, it was the most natural thing for him to say, can I come home with you? And I naively said, sure.
I have got the hugest smile on my face. Thank you for that. That is such a lovely, positive place to leave it. So no matter how broken we are, if there's the will to put it together again, we can do that. And good to hear your take, Luba, that it's not as bad as it was. There's some sort of an improvement, however small it may be.
Getting there.
Yeah, a long way to go. But thank you for talking to us, and happy youth day.
Thank you. Same with you. Bye.